CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Do not forget. I know it's easy to forget, but do not forget to hump someone you love today.
It's especially easy to forget today since neither Dew nor Brew are here. Today I had like a feeling of maybe bringing Brew, but you know, it's just so much work and I had a
coffee.
No, but Dew is a full-grown adult.
Still so much work.
He takes himself to work. He packs his briefcase.
It's still backbreaking.
He brings his lunch.
It's with backbreaking.
Brew, it's like a little baby. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary of Brew's homecoming.
Your 1 year brandiversary?
My 1 year brandiversary, like my time hop yesterday, it's like the crate getting set up and like I'm just...
I remember those days.
I think it's like 6 days till the brandiversary and I'm literally just gonna like cry all day. Like I'm so... It's just so crazy this journey that I've been on in the last year. And what this man Brew has brought to my life. And
what his role in the journey was.
And I don't know if anyone out there is thinking about getting a puppy right now. And I know it's a lot of responsibility and a lot of work.
Yes.
But I just need to let you know, I don't remember any of that. I only remember the love. It has been worth it on every single level. And Brew actually took kind of a long time to get trained. And, you know, sometimes he still has his moments. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. So if you're looking for a sign to get a puppy or even, you know, a cat...
No, this is not a sign to get a cat.
A hamster.
Sure.
A pet of any sort.
A pet rock.
Do it because it will change your life.
Couldn't echo that sentiment any harder if I tried. I mean, I've been like trying to tell everyone this like forever. Like that first year, it is hard. You know, not to
minimize.
It's hard. But my God, is it worth it?
It's, and you know what? Now looking back at the year, like that portion where Brew literally needed to go out every 30 minutes feels like it was, you know.
A dream.
No, but it feels like it was such a short period of time. They just need to grow a little bit to get the bladder bigger and then they can hold it for longer. But at that time, it was just still so exciting. And I'm feeling, you know, very grateful for the Brew in my life.
I absolutely love to hear that. Happy anniversary to Bruno, to you, Zach, the whole family.
We'll be celebrating the whole week. So yeah. I think we're going to do 7 days of Brew.
Love here that. At the Toast. Unfortunately, I am gone for the next 7 days. So I will
miss
it.
Ben said he was going to be happy to celebrate
great
for the first 3 days because he loves being an uncle to Brew, even though I think he's met him like three times.
No, Ben loves Brew.
He does.
Yeah, he talks about Bruno all the time.
He said that?
Yeah.
No, he literally doesn't even know Brew.
No, not at all. But speaking of Ben, today is my last show of the week because I'm headed to Roma to eat some spaghetti. You know, I was actually thinking this morning, I do not know like one thing. I don't know how to say anything in Italian.
Yeah, you do.
Ciao.
Ciao. Bella.
I should have done Babel.
It's not too late. Do it on the plane.
Because like honestly,
these classes are snackable.
Traveling to a country where you don't know like, and even like, you know, where's the bathroom? Like, it's kind of dangerous.
Buongiorno. I think I'm fluent.
Molto bene.
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
You should do Babbel on the plane.
100%.
Snackable classes.
Today's not sponsored by Babbel. I was just thinking last night how I legit don't know like one lick of Italian. But Ben is filling in for me tomorrow, Friday, and Monday. So if you have something you've been wanting to ask Ben or just something you've been thinking about getting Ben's take on, let us know.
Yeah.
Ben is full of takes.
He is full of takes.
They're usually terrible.
I look forward to hearing what he brings to the table. You know, I do love an out-of-the-box take. Mm-hmm. I do. So
OOTBT.
Yeah. So I am here for whatever he wants to bring to the show.
No, you two will get along swimmingly. Like, Ben, like, when it comes to, when I ask him to, like, form an opinion on, like, toast stuff or just in general when he's having, an opinion on something, he'll come up with, like, the worst take ever just because, like, he wants to be, like, contrarian and different. And, you know, that element I do respect, but the take is so bad.
No, you can't just do it for the sake of doing it, you know?
Can I be honest with you? Sometimes it feels like you have your, like, controversial takes, like, just for the sake of being a contrarian.
And that's your feeling, and that's not fact. I don't do it for the sake of it. I do it because I think most of the time, if everybody's saying the exact same thing and it seems too simple and too good to be true, you know, there's multiple sides to every story, and you've got to look at it from a layered perspective.
Sure.
And I think you should apply that to all areas of your life. Some things aren't so simple, and sometimes the majority, they don't know what they got it wrong.
No, I mean, that's definitely true, but it's not like all the time.
No, I mean, sometimes I'm just like, yeah, happy for them, period. Yeah.
You're full of hot takes. So it should be a very interesting week with you and Ben.
I mean, it just, it makes for an interesting show.
100%. So that's Thursday, Friday, and Monday with Ben. I'll be back on Tuesday. Try not to miss me so much. I am really, I'm actually going to watch, I can't do Babble on the Plane. I'm going to watch the Lizzie McGuire movie before I fall asleep. I kind of just need some inspiration from Miss Ungermeyer. That's what I'm gonna do.
Okay, have fun.
And I'm gonna listen to the soundtrack. And I actually, if you have any good captions, like Lizzie McGuire, I like forgot all like the, I don't even remember what happened in the movie. I just
remember. You're gonna watch a movie.
Sneaky Brown Noser with a Hidden Agenda. But if you went to Rome and you have like some good captions that you use that are like Lizzie McGuire, Miss Ungermeyer, like references, do send them my way because I'm curious.
You're about to watch a movie. You're going to be chock full.
No. Just because I watch a movie, I need like creative, like maybe ideas for TikToks, like something. If you have any ideas, just send them my way.
Okay. Do you plan on doing a lot of content on this trip?
100%.
Cool.
And it's going to be all Lizzie McGuire. Like what else is there to do in Rome except talk about the Lizzie McGuire movie?
That's true.
What other movies take place in Rome? Like none. What's that Anna Faris movie? What happened? No, not something about Rome. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like one of her million like rom-coms. I think like Josh Duhamel was in it.
I don't.
It's like they built. What is that movie? Hold on. Romantic comedy.
But
do you know what I'm talking about? Romantic comedy Rome.
Is
Nah. Am I making this movie up in my head?
Yeah, because it doesn't ring a bell, and I'm quite familiar with her catalog.
No, but maybe not Anna Faris, but, like, one of those girls. Like,
what's it about?
Like, Rome. I don't know. There's, like, a wedding in Rome. Like, he's going to be her date. Honestly, it didn't come up. Like,
I haven't seen it. But I'm
sure. It's not to Rome with love. I don't even know what that is. There's a Sarah Jessica Parker movie, All Roads Lead to Rome. That's not it. Maybe I am just like making
what
up this movie in my head.
What about the one with Brittany Murphy and Ashton Kutcher where they're like newlyweds?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Honeymoon? They're on their honeymoon. What's that movie called?
Google it.
That is the best movie.
And is it in Rome? No. It's Rome vibes.
Okay.
But it could be, you know, like Milan.
You know, that movie is like always playing on E! Movies We Love. What is this called?
Just Married. Okay, where does it take place?
Everywhere. Just Married. Okay. So it was nominated for a Golden Globe.
What?
Okay. It doesn't have like their itinerary on here, but I don't think that they went to. Well, the movie made $100 million.
It was that good.
It was
people
that
know quality.
Good. Oh, Venice.
Oh.
Not Rome.
Same but different.
But yeah, so like if you have any good, I don't know. So the only cultural reference I know is the Lizzie McGuire movie. So,
got it.
If you have any good captions that you use and, like, got, like, so many likes on, like, let me know because I want to steal it.
Okay, cool. Simple enough.
Because, obviously, the first one is, like, me at the Trevi Fountain feeling like a sneaky brown noser with a hidden agenda.
Why does it have to be Trevi Fountain?
Because that's, like, so Rome.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I could just, like, geotag, but, like, I want it to be, like, this really Roman picture. And, like, for me, when I think Rome, I think sneaky brown noser with a hidden agenda.
Okay.
What do you think of?
Paolo.
Oh, also Eurotrip. But, like, I don't really, like, know that movie.
Yeah.
Or the references. Except they've elected a new pope when, like, the white smoke comes out.
Yeah.
That'll be one of my captions, too.
Okay. Perfect.
I'm starting a Google Doc.
You're good to go.
No, like, there should
be. You're going to have to take a lot of pictures. Do you think your friends are up to the task? Like, your husband's not going.
Okay, so Ben's not going.
TPG's not going.
Okay, but I have Abe.
Oh, okay.
Abe is like one of my best friends from high school, and he's very, like, actually very artsy, and he can take a pic.
Okay.
And he knows he's been tasked, like, because I got so many dresses, like, I'm gonna look so cute, except, like, I did get this gown that I fully intend to rewear, like, maybe to 3 more weddings. And I'm thinking I actually won't take any pictures at the actual wedding in the dress, like, for my Instagram.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Because I don't know how everyone's keeping up with all these weddings. Like, dresses, everything. Like, everything on Revolve is on back order. Like, you can't get a gown on Revolve until literally December.
That's true. I actually just had to order some dresses. And, of course, the ones that I liked were on pre-order. And
of course.
Didn't help anything. But I do feel like, I was actually just thinking about this, I do feel like it's easier than ever to get dresses. Like, I remember when I was in college, like, you would have formal and, like, you would have to borrow a dress from a friend.
Right.
Now these girls just have a revolving door of Revolve packages with, like, formal dresses.
I never went to a formal, like.
You haven't lived.
Really? What did they do?
It was just, like, it was, like, a college party, but it was formal.
So like, everyone dressed up?
Everyone dressed up.
And what you did had boys wear?
Like, suit. Very nice. And you had a date, so there was, like, a romantic element. And so some people just, like, invited a friend for formal. But, like, sometimes it was, like, if you had a crush on someone and, like, they have a formal, are they going to invite you?
Oh, my God. And how many times? How frequent were the formals?
So, like, each group would have, like, one a season. So, like, 2 a year per house. So there's a lot of formals going around.
And how many houses are there?
And, like, sometimes 15? They would have, it depends on the school.
Right.
And also, I'm sure that depends on the school too. But also, sometimes they would have, like, a formal and a semi-formal. Like, they had the big one and a smaller one. Mm. So it's just, like, was really cute.
So how many formals did you go to? And when you ask someone to a formal, is it, like, a big deal, or do you just, like, send it via text?
You send it via text.
Okay.
But, like, it's a big deal.
No, but they don't make, like, a big production.
No, it's not prom every single week.
It's not, like, a proposal.
It's not prom every week.
It's not Rockcella.
No, it's not Rockcella. How many formals did I went to a fair share of formals.
Like, were you, like, a gal who got asked? Because honestly, I think, as much as it sounds really fun, I'm so grateful.
You think it would be hurtful.
I think I'm so grateful I went to NYU. Because, like, okay, let's say all of your, it's okay, there's so many, you don't have to be invited to everyone, but, like, all your friends are going to one, and then you're, like, scrambling to find a date, like, some pathetic loser.
Okay, but, like, it never really happened in such a sad way like that. For example, if all of your,
but it would happen for me though.
No, but, like, if all of your friends were going, then they were all going with, like, a group of guys who were friends, say, and then there was more than likely, like, someone in their group of friends who didn't have a date and would invite you. Like, it usually worked out like that. But sometimes you, like, went to a formal where you didn't know anyone, you know, because you're
just like the guy.
Taking a leap on an unknown man.
That's painful.
No, but, like, it's just, that's the closest you'll get to romance.
And then if I'm a guy and, like, I want to invite a girl who, like, knows everyone, because, like, I don't want to be babysitting my date.
Yeah, there's that too. So like you could get a social invite.
Right, so you could get, like, actually, I feel like I might be invited a lot because I'm just, like, playing this out. I went to NYU. Like, I just actually feel like I might have been invited to a lot of formals because, like, you don't have to worry about me. Like, you can go. I don't even need to talk to you. Like, drop me off. I'll meet a new guy, hang out with my friends. But, like, you'll have a date, but you won't have to babysit me. And, like, we can have the best time. But, like, if you need to go do your thing, like, I'm good on my own.
Yes. Only thing is, like, he might want to have sex with someone.
No.
And it's not going to be you.
No, definitely not. So, like, oh, so interesting. There's, like, this whole part of your life that, like...
And also, sometimes there would be, like, depend not on a, for a formal, but for some of the, like, more casual formals, there would sometimes just be, like, a social list of people, guys or girls.
People at the party.
Yeah, guys or girls who were invited who weren't anyone's date. We just like them, so...
Got it.
That could be your...
By the way, I'm, like, the head of the social committee, for sure.
Yeah.
And, like, I keep the list. Mm-hmm. Love that. Oh, you know, I was watching a TikTok that was, like, you know, top 10 schools that consume the most beer. Number one was, like, University of Wisconsin. Colgate was, like, number 4.
That's crazy because the population of Colgate is so small. It's, yeah, like, 3,000 max.
That's crazy, yo. Crazy.
That's a lot of beer.
It's whack.
I didn't contribute to any of it.
Yeah.
Never
Actually,
drank a
we
beer.
Did keg stands that one time.
We did?
Yeah, we took pictures.
You did.
You did one, too.
I don't know if I did.
You definitely did one.
Maybe for the picture, but still, I was definitely not drinking.
Some of my fondest memories are those weekends that we used to visit you at college. Ooh, what a time.
Good time. What a place. And just to clarify, I just don't drink beer. I drank, like, other things. I just am not a beer girly.
In my old age, I actually have started to enjoy it quite a bit.
You have. You know, it's just, like, something that... that I'm just trying to reconcile. It's like my college years were just a few years off from, like, canned cocktails.
Yeah,
like
White Claws,
Spritz, obviously.
Spritz Society.
Like, that would have changed my college experience if, like, I didn't always have to, like, pregame before because there wasn't, like, going to be vodka
shots
at the party.
Yeah.
Like, because some schools, like, ban hard alcohol at parties. Like, oh my God, there was so much chaos surrounding like trying to get a drink if you weren't a beer drinker. And that like White Claw just solved that.
100%. And like now if you go, I mean, I haven't been to a college party, but I imagine there's just cases of like truly White Claw, Spritz Society. Oh my
God, I can't even imagine.
I agree. Like that is a game changer. And honestly, that's such a good call.
Yeah, I think about it often. I'm happy for the kids now, but you know, I really would have been just like, my whole life would have been different.
Totally. But we have an amazing show for you guys. It is my last show of the week, so I'm just going to try and make it my best one yet. We do have a juicy TV recap. We've got Vanderpump Rules, which mm-hmm. I did catch up on, and last night's episode was fine. Last night was also the season finale of Only Murders in the Building, the most perfect show on television.
Most perfect.
We watched it. And I did watch the new episode of Impeachment. Me and Ben literally stumbled in, and he's like, is impeachment on? He doesn't even remember my birthday. Like, but he knows that, you know, Tuesday at 9 o'clock is impeachment. And I was like, I don't know. And we recorded it and it was on and it was so good.
So now you're watching week to week, you think?
I mean, I didn't plan on it, but Ben all of a sudden is like this timely person and we watch it and it didn't, I mean, I would love to just binge it. It's so good. And when the episode ends, I'm like depressed. Mm-hmm. So we'll see moving forward how I handle it, but I would love for it to just be dropped, like leave, like it's enough. And when you watch on FX, there's commercials. Like it's not a premium experience.
But then it goes to Hulu the next day.
Yeah, but I use Zach Shapiro's Hulu, and he don't have that like extra subscription. Oh. I'm about to like just click it for him. But I bought the whole season on iTunes, so like they download them automatically.
Got it. I have them all recorded on my TV, so I'll watch that way.
Can I tell you like how unenjoyable it is to skip through the commercials? Like when I watch on iTunes, it was literally like a film. It's like an hour long. Yeah. There's like it goes black and then it comes and you have to do anything. And last night I was like every 5 minutes like with the clicker, like it's so annoying.
These are some tough times we're living in.
So that will be the TV recap segment. We've got the Fast Five and I don't have anything else to say unless you do.
No, I had a lovely evening of nesting last night. I cooked, like, so I started because I just wanted to make a salad to go with my dressing. I was still in the fridge. And then I was like, I have some chicken. Let's cook that up. And then I was like, we need a starch. Made some pasta. So I really created a whole culinary experience.
It looked really good.
It was really good. And when I'm so funny, like, I just decided, like, 4 o'clock. I'm like, time to cook dinner. And then I go to get Zach, and he's, like, still on calls. And I'm just like,
he just had lunch.
I'm like, it's, like, 5:30. He's, like, still working. And I'm like, why don't you want to eat my meal? And it's like, because you started cooking at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't plan at all. So I got to get better about that. But it's like, I don't do the cooking for like meal times. I do it because it's an activity.
Obviously.
So that was fun. And then I read a lot last night. I'm reading Apples Never Fall by Leanne Moriarty. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
She's Big Little Lies, mm-hmm. Nine Perfect Strangers.
Husband's Secret,
What Alice Forgot, which is still my favorite Leanne Moriarty book. But maybe it's just because it was the first one that I read. And I'm really enjoying Apples Never Fall. For some reason, the description like made me think it was spooky about like a murder. It's not spooky at all. And I just like love her voice, Leanne Moriarty. Like I was cracking up this character that's like the mom of the family. It's just so funny. And she's like, the house is so quiet now that all her kids are grown. So she listens to podcasts like on her like Beats headphones.
The Morning Toast.
All throughout the day so that she can be, and her daughter has like migraines, so she listens to like Living with Migraines. And it's like, she's hysterical. So I'm really enjoying the book. Hopefully I finish it like today. I've been on a reading, like plowing through reading.
Well, I haven't, but I am charging my Kindle for my trip. And I was thinking that I wanted to read, excuse me.
Bless you.
That I wanted to read that new Housewives book by Dave.
We're going to talk about it in the stories.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about to read or not to read.
Okay, same. So then I'll save what I was going to say.
Okay.
And I also have Beach Read on deck. That's all I was going to say. I haven't read it yet.
I liked it when I read it. I don't know if that's your next book. We'll talk about
it. Okay, then give me some like just generic, you know, murder, thrill, romance, something like silly, you know? Like what was that book about the girl who got married in Nantucket, but then there was a murder at the wedding?
That was... Was it Ellen Hildebrand?
Yeah. 27. No. The Perfect Couple,
yes.
Like some shit Ellen. Like that, you know?
Okay. I'm going through my...
Something nonsensical.
I'm looking. I've had such a weird year of reading.
Jackie, my flight is at 5:30, and I get in at 7 a.m., that Rome time. Like, do you sleep the whole time?
Well, you'll sleep as much as you can.
Yeah, but like, should I take like a sleeping pill? And just, like, try and sleep the 8 hours so I wake up, like, refreshed 7 a.m. in Rome.
Yikes.
I know.
I don't know. Or do you sleep a little bit more when you get to the hotel till, like, 11?
Yeah, but, like, once I'm in Rome, I just want to, you know, be a sneaky brown noser with my hidden agenda.
That is true. Do you read The Good Sister by Sally Hepworth yet?
No, I didn't.
It's really good.
Okay, done.
I think that's the one.
We okay. stand Sally Hepworth in this house.
We really do. I need to like go read some of her other books. But before I can do that, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
I just remembered I didn't put on deodorant today. That does not have anything to do with today's sponsor. I just, you know when like you lift your armpits yep. and there's like a little...
Moisture.
No, not moisture. I wouldn't say moisture, actually. I would say more of like a textured stickiness. You know, like when you like lift and like the flaps of your armpits like are sticking together.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't put on deodorant. Today's episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility. Did you know that a simple finger prick can unlock tons of insight into your reproductive health? We're talking egg count, menopause timing, if your hormone levels indicate conditions like thyroid disorders or even PCOS. So these are all good things to know. Whether or not kids are in your future. And there's so much about fertility that's a complete mystery. And that's where modern fertility hormone tests come in. Think of your fertility hormones as tiny detectives that can bring you tons of insight into your egg count, reproductive timeline, and even possible outcomes for egg freezing and IVF. It's everything you need to know to get proactive about your fertility. So you can get really important fertility insight without going to the doctor or even leaving your house. Modern Fertility makes it possible with easy at-home fertility hormone testing. It's time for a new type of education that puts your reproductive goals front and center. So the traditional guidance with fertility has always been just wait and see. But now we have tools to help us plan and track for everything in our lives. And fertility is absolutely no different. Knowledge is power. So the more you know, you can make better decisions for your body, your health, and your future. You've probably thought that the next step in your career and your relationship, but what about next step for planning kids? Women are having children later in life, but biology has not changed. So Modern Fertility is an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You mail it in with a prepaid label. You'll get your personalized test results within 10 days. The traditional testing at your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility gets you the same information at $159. And if you go to modernfertility.com/toast, you can get $20 off your test. Also, if you have an HSA or an FSA, you can put those dollars towards Modern Fertility. So Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast, which means that $159 test is now going to cost you $139. So get that $20 off your fertility test at modernfertility.com/toast. Toast, awesome. Toast.
Okay, our first story, just this has been a roller coaster, you guys, and right now we're on another... I would say we're going up. We're climbing. Lala Kent is home with Randall, according to TMZ, and not calling off the engagement yet. Lala and Randall are trying to save their engagement. TMZ has learned they're at home together working on their relationship, even as rumors fly that they've split. Sources familiar with the situation tell TMZ that Lala and Randall have not broken off their engagement, despite reports to the contrary. They're told Lala went to the Beverly Hills Hotel on Sunday night and stayed there as part of a planned night out with her girlfriends, and she's now back home in the couple's Bel Air estate.
Mm.
And according to like the Instagram photos that they've been posting, it does look like, referencing the pictures she's posted, it actually looks like that's in their house.
They also have a podcast, and they released a podcast episode yesterday and mentioned nothing of this.
Well, it probably was pre-recorded.
I read somewhere that it was like just recorded, but I don't, there's no proof of that.
Yeah, I feel like they probably recorded it even a few days ago. But then also, so I saw this article from TMZ and I was feeling so hopeful because I, you know, TMZ is usually pretty truthful. So I was like, okay, this is really good news. And then also, did you see that Randall posted a video of two girls like working
in his office?
Are those the two girls from Nashville?
So he's trying to make it seem...
Were they truly just working on business?
So he was in the Nashville lobby with a blonde and a brunette, and in his office are a blonde and a brunette, and he posted them, not saying anything, but I think wanting us to, like, infer that. But there is other damning evidence from this situation. It's not just those photos. I believe there are text messages floating around. So he's not completely out of the woods yet, but I don't know, like... You know, Sheena said something really fucking mean on Vanderpump Rules last night when or maybe it was two episodes ago because I just caught up, when Randall was like, no, I don't change diapers. And she was like, Sheena in her confessionals was like, I could never be with someone who like refuses to change a diaper no matter how much money he has. I guess Lala can be bought.
Yeah, no, she keeps saying mean stuff about Lala in her confessionals. They must not be friends right now.
That's like a really mean thing to say.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, last night on Vanderpump Rules, this sort of conversation came up between Lala and Sheena where Lala was pretty much telling Sheena, like, how you get them is how you lose them. And also Lala to herself is like, and I understand that about my situation
and
too.
And like, it's like a concern of mine.
Right. Like, it's something that lives in the back of my head. And like, I actually, I think a lot of people saw that scene and were like, oh, how ironic. But no, I like, actually,
what moral high ground do you have, no, Lala? But I thought, I had a lot of respect for her, like, owning it completely.
Yeah, they are like, how can you talk about bra considering what's going on in your relationship now? But it's like, watching that scene, Lala has such a good head on her shoulders. And the fact, and it's true, so many times people get into a relationship, you know, they were married or separated, and then, and the saying goes, how you get them is how you lose them. And Lala is aware of that. Doesn't mean she's not going to be with Randall or give him a chance, but like, it's not something that she's going to like blissfully ignore.
Be delusional about.
Yeah. So I actually thought that it was the perfect scene to watch while we're all like dealing with same, this news, because it's like, oh, whatever, regardless of what happens, like, she's going to be fine. Nothing is going to surprise her.
No, and Lala didn't think that like this was out of the realm of possibility.
And Lala's not living her life like Randall is like, will be there forever and I don't need to do anything ever. Like, she
and that's
has,
really
like,
what like Sheena does, like, she, with everyone.
Yeah, she has multiple businesses. Like, I think she's always, you know, planning on taking care of herself if it ever comes to that. So I don't know what's going on between Lala and Rand. I'm feeling extremely hopeful. This is some good news for the Landl stands. Our ship, you guys, it's not sinking. Like,
I think it's more Rala.
It's whatever you want it to be. And I'm feeling like, for once, you know, my optimism has paid off.
Yeah, no, you're always, like, delusionally optimistic and, like, more often than not, like, Kim and Kanye, like, the world lets you down. So, like, you needed this.
With Kim and Kanye, I actually think my optimism protected me because okay, I never really had to deal, like, so when everyone was reporting that they were separating, divorcing, and they never confirmed it, I was like, okay, well, they haven't confirmed it, so it's like, I don't have to grieve yet. Because it might not be. Mm-hmm. And then by the time she did share it on Keeping Up, I was way more prepared to hear
it. Yes, of course. It softened the blow
and
all the time.
And then I was like, okay, so that's true. Like, they're not together. But this isn't now new news to me. Like, I'm okay with it. And now they're in a place where they're so simpatico that it's like, I never had to grieve. I skipped the grieving process altogether.
That's true.
And now I'm so familiar with the idea of them not being together.
Being, like, separate but like simpatica.
Yeah, and so it's the best case scenario. Sometimes yeah, your optimism can protect you.
I do think Lala and Randall will probably be fine.
Yeah.
That's just like a gut feeling of mine. I have no proof of that. But I would love some clarification on what the fuck's going on, for sure.
She was also spotted walking without her engagement ring on, but she was also, like, not dressed up, so maybe she just, like, didn't put her jewelry on.
I just want to say,
I can't abide by that.
Like, okay, I literally hate when people are like, she wasn't wearing her ring. Like, it's, maybe for a guy it means something, because, like, Ben never takes his ring off. He, like, sleeps in it, showers in it. If I'm home, my ring is off. If I'm running to the grocery store, my ring is off. Like, so all these paparazzi pictures, like, spotted without her ring means literally nothing. Absolutely. Yeah. Zilch. Zilch.
I think sometimes celebrities, like, use it as, like, a tool to let us know what's going on. So yes, if they're at the grocery store with, like, a sponsored beverage in hand and no ring, like, okay, they're trying to tell us something.
No, but if it's truly a paparazzi, like, catching you in your natural state,
yeah,
at the grocery store getting a coffee and you're not wearing your ring, to me that means absolutely nothing.
Means nothing. I completely agree. So there's still hope between the two of them, and maybe they are going through a rough patch. Like, maybe those pictures, text messages were just, like, you know, a warning sign, and maybe they're gonna work it out. I'm gonna go with TMZ, because it's TMZ saying they're together and Page Six is saying that they split. So, and those are two kind of, as far as, you know, tabloids gossip go, they're kind of reputable sources.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
but considering this is an LA thing, I'm gonna go with TMZ.
I agree.
Page Six has the New York tea, but I do believe TMZ's got it covered in California.
Why would Randall cheat on Lala? Like, honestly, I was watching her and I'm like, she is so gorgeous. Like, I forget what I was watching. I think when they were sitting out playing Jenga in Palm Springs and she was wearing, like, this gorgeous hat and sunglasses and, like, a little black bathing suit, I'm like, there's literally nobody in the world who's more gorgeous, and she just had a baby. Like, mm-hmm, what else is out there?
And she's got the personality too. Like, she's
really the full package.
We'll keep it interesting. You'll uh-huh, always be laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, she is everything of the sort. I agree. But you know what? Like, when a man is a serial cheater like that, like, it doesn't make sense.
Right. They don't do it based on logic.
Right. They've got problems.
Yeah.
So
that is so lame. Like, honestly, serial cheater, like, that's not a thing.
Yeah,
like, just don't cheat on your wife, or don't be married.
That's what, like, the Page Six is saying, that he has this, like, two sides to him. I don't know if he's a serial cheater.
No, but, like, okay, that's a thing, like, serial cheater, and it's just like, don't cheat on your wife. Like, it's really not that hard, especially yeah, when she just had a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Ocean is mad cute.
Beyond. So we'll see. We shall see. But you guys,
time will tell.
I'm feeling better than I did at the outset of the week.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. Our next story, The executive producer for Bravo's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills claims Lisa Vanderpump leaked the Puppygate story.
Obviously.
Okay, so a new Real Housewives tell-all book called Not All Diamonds and Rosé has just dropped by Dave Quinn, I don't know him like that. And there are just, you know, bombs aplenty. It's like an oral history of the beginning of Real Housewives, of a lot of the things that we've seen. So one is that the Beverly Hills producer is saying that when Lisa lost the narrative in the show and she realized that it wasn't going the way she wanted, that's when she leaked the story to the press about Lucy Apple Juicy.
Okay, so let's talk about Lucy Apple Juicy, and then let's talk
some
about
of the other bombs.
Just the book in general.
Yeah.
So obviously Lisa Vanderpump leaked that whole Dorit dog rescue thing. That's the least surprising thing of all time. But, you know, when I was watching Vanderpump Rules last night, I was thinking a lot about Lisa Vanderpump. Like, my God, what a irrelevant person. Like, talk about a fall from grace. You know, she thought she was too good for the Housewives. She, like, didn't even show up at the end, but she had this, like, sickening franchise. She didn't need it. Vanderpump Rules, like, imploded on its own. She got her own show that was, like, actually, I think, detrimental to her reputation. That's how, like, embarrassing the ratings were. And she's just, like, kind of, like, flop central now. Like, where in the world is Lisa Vanderpump?
Yeah. It's true. I mean,
still seeing her like hanging out with these children on Vanderpump Rules, and she's like making fun of James's ring because he said he got it from Tiffany's and he didn't. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're a grown fucking woman.
I don't know. It's pretty sad. And I guess the thing is, when someone like is lying so blatantly, like, you know, Kyle came to her house to, like, ask her as a friend, did you leak it? And she's like, no. Like, you at a certain point, it's like, okay, maybe she didn't.
Yeah, that's always an element in your mind.
Right.
Like,
so reading this, it is a little bit surprising that, like, after all, like, she died on that hill for that lie.
She really did.
Even though, like, in hindsight, she's the only one who talks to Radar online. Like, they used words that, like, she uses that were, like, weirdly specific words. Like, it was written in her voice. Duh. But still, at the time, I was like, well, did she? Or was it someone in her camp?
Right.
You know? But, like, nope. It was her, and
it John from Vanderpump Dogs?
Right, exactly. Or someone who, like, overheard her speaking and then ran and told Radar Online in the same words that she used, you know? But no, it's not. Sometimes the answer is the simplest one.
I just feel like she went out in such a coward-like way, and she's really just gone downhill from there.
Yeah.
For, like, in so many ways. Like, every time there's something about her in the press, it's never flattering. When the women do refer to her, it's, like, in the most negative way. Vanderpump Rules is a fraction of what it used to be, a shell of the show it used to be. And it's just like, honestly, Lisa Vanderpump is kind of irrelevant. Like, she is. You just love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, Vanderpump Rules is not, like, our favorite show anymore. But still, I guess she does have, like, her own show on Bravo.
Okay, but when she left Beverly Hills, I think that she had the energy to do it because she was literally an executive producer of the biggest show on television. Like, Vanderpump Rules for so long was this, like, rocket ship. Like, everyone was obsessed. Like, everyone on the show was having all the success. Lisa was, like, the girl. And now it's just, like, a regular show, like everyone else, like a losery reality show that doesn't have the longevity that it used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of the other stuff that's come out from the book that I've seen so far.
Carol.
Carol versus Andy. Some spat there. I'm sorry, I just, like, can't be bothered to care. But did you see that a lot of the women from New York said that Bethany was the one who set up the picture of Tom kissing another woman at the Regency?
What?
So apparently, this is what they're saying, allegedly.
See, I don't want to hear this stuff. Like, I want to read it in the book.
Oh, you do want to read. Okay, we'll talk about the book.
But then wait. I also want to ask, like, if I should read the book, and I'll give you my reasoning on why. I don't know.
Same for me. This is what I read, that I guess Bethany's friend, like, Bethany had a friend who Bethany knew was, like, in communication with Tom, and so she, like, kind of orchestrated them getting together at the Regency and kissing, and that's how she got the photo, because she kind of set it up, as opposed to, like, randomly her friend was at the Regency and got a picture of it.
I don't know if I believe that.
At the time, people thought it might have been production that told Bethany about it, but more sinisterly, some of the women are saying that Bethany actually, like, knew about the whole setup.
If it's coming from the Real Housewives of New York, they're such jealous women, and mm-hmm. they, like, hate Bethany. I don't really believe that. Bethany has, like, a lot going on. Like, she was dealing with her custody battle and her million-dollar business and her child. Like, I don't know if she has time to set up Tom in the Regency.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't totally believe it, but I could see a situation where it's like Bethany knew, they all had their concerns about Tom, and Bethany knew that she had a friend who was like, Tom was talking to her, and she was like, mm-hmm. wait, would Tom really do this? And so she was like, go meet up with him, like, do whatever you want to do. And was maybe trying to like give him the benefit of the doubt that he wouldn't like make out with her in public. Mm-hmm. But then when he did, like, and she got the picture, because her reaction, I'm sorry, that's not acting. Like, she was literally like
genuine
a panic attack. Like, I think maybe even if she did set it up, which I don't think, it's possible she didn't, but even if she did, I think maybe she thought that like that wouldn't be the outcome.
I do not think
it was like a test that he failed.
I don't think that she had anything to do with it, because if the only proof is coming from like Ramona Singer and Dorinda,
Luann,
they hate Bethany. Yeah. They hate her. I don't believe that at all. But part of the reason why I'm struggling with this book, because there is a bunch of good tea coming out, but I feel like I've heard it already. Like, the big things are this that you just told me, Lisa Vanderpump selling Lucy Apple Juicy, and then like Carol and Andy do not talk anymore. She went absolutely ballistic on Andy. So I feel like I've heard like the juiciest pieces. And my concern is that this book is published by Andy Cohen Books. It's like their first book ever. It's like his imprint. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that it would be that juicy, because first of all, there's probably a lot of juice around Andy, and like Andy had to approve all this book. Like, it's going to be a very flattering book for Andy. And I don't know, I feel like it's not going to go there like 100% because it's like an Andy book, if that makes sense.
I think it'll go there on stuff that happened so long ago that's irrelevant. Like, sure, we'll get the tea on what happened between Gina Keough and Vicky, but like, I don't
care. Who cares? I know.
And the book, I saw Andy hold it up on Watch What Happens Live, is huge. Massive. So maybe, like, so I don't want, I'm not downloading that on my Kindle.
No, I was actually thinking it's much more of a physical read, and it's, like, maybe a cute, like, thing to put on your coffee table, and, like, maybe you just, I agree, it's too big to put on a Kindle. Like, it's overwhelming. It's like, yeah, a textbook.
It's a textbook. So my conclusion was that I wasn't going to read it because I, like, I don't think I'm that level of housewife fan anymore. That's
me too.
Like, I've got to read the books too. I mean, so sometimes like when a book comes out that's like has bombshells and you see in like every news article, another day, another bombshell, like Jessica Simpson, yep, it's like, oh my God, I have to read this. I'm not even going to look at the spoilers. This doesn't feel that way to me. I'm like, I'm happy to just get the nuggets from the news.
Well, to be honest, it's such a thick book. And I feel like so much of it is about Orange County because it really was the first franchise. I know that Vicky's like very involved in the book, as is Scott Dunlop, who produced and produces Orange County. And like, to be honest, like, I really don't care about Orange County, like, not in the slightest. To me, the first franchise is New York, and like, you want to fight me on that, that's fine. Like, I know that Orange County was like a year or two before, but the New York women put the show on the map.
Yeah, if this book had come out a few years ago, I probably would have read it, but I just don't feel like I don't have the reverence for the show that I once did.
I agree.
So I don't really care about the tea.
And if it was like shorter, I might have read it. But it does feel weird because didn't Brian Moylan just write a book like this?
Yeah.
The real story of the Real Housewives.
Yeah. But is that part of it, Andy's imprint?
No. So it feels like this is like the more in-depth version.
Yeah.
But Andy was so involved with this book, it gives it like the stamp of approval.
Yes. But then also, so you, it makes you wonder, like, you know, it's definitely been vetted.
Yes, right.
Okay, I'm looking at Brian Moylan's
and, like,
book.
Are they putting stuff in there about how much everyone's getting paid? Like, that's the shit I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if the book's going to do well. I feel like it will. And they're, like, Bravo and everyone, every housewife was at the party last night. Like, everyone is giving it 100%.
I'm sure it will do well.
Yeah.
There's tons of fans.
We're going to continue on with our stories, but not before I let you know that today's episode is brought to you by ShipStation. The holidays are coming up, and if you're selling anything online, it's time to prepare for the busiest time of year. Between growing your business, managing inventory, and juggling orders, you've got a lot going on this holiday season, so make shipping the easiest part of your day with ShipStation. So if you have an Etsy shop, you Poshmark anything on like a side hustle or your main business, you make jewelry, the holidays are nuts. Like, there are so many delays with shipping, you got to get on top of it, and I highly recommend ShipStation. Figuring out the best way to ship your orders can be frustrating, but ShipStation makes it quick, easy, and convenient. You easily import your orders from any sales channel, automate just about any shipping task, so you spend less time sorting through orders and more time doing what you do best. ShipStation integrates all selling channels into one simple dashboard so you can seamlessly connect carriers, print shipping labels, and get products to the door fast. Over 100,000 sellers use ShipStation in their business. And they work with all the major carriers and give you exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS so you can compare carriers and choose the best solution for you and your customers. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates that are usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies. So again, if you have an Etsy shop, an eBay store, Poshmark, any business where you sell Check out ShipStation. It will make your life 1,000 times easier. It's never too early to start prepping for the holiday rush, so get a head start with ShipStation. Our listeners can use code TOAST to get a 60-day free trial just in time for the holidays. That's 2 months of stress-free holiday shopping for free. Holiday shipping, excuse me, for free. Just go to ShipStation, click on the microphone at the top, and enter in TOAST ShipStation. Make ship happen.
Love it. Okay.
I love a punny slogan.
We do love it. Our next story, Celine Dion has been forced to delay her Las Vegas residency over severe muscle spasms. Celine Dion is delaying the opening of her new residency because of severe and persistent muscle spasms, she announced on Tuesday morning. The unforeseen medical symptoms have been preventing her from performing, so the songstress is canceling her dates that were originally scheduled from November 5th to November 21st and January 19th to February 5th. If you guys had tickets, I'm really sorry.
Well, I really hope she's okay, but selfishly, I'm like so relieved because November 5th, like, Brian had tickets in Vegas, but it is your birthday and I would never miss your birthday. So I said, no, Brian, I can't go to this amazing once in a lifetime chance because I love my sister more than life itself. And now it got canceled. So I didn't even have to go.
Didn't have to make the choice. This is really, like, concerning. I hope everything is truly okay.
I know.
To have to cancel so many shows.
I know. And, like, I'm not saying that she's lying, but, like, you know, when celebrities release things like this, they always have a reason, and it's always something else, and it's none of our business. So I really hope that whatever is actually going on, because I don't think it's muscle spasms, these, I don't know if that would take a month, you know? I really, really hope she's okay. Like, she's a queen. She gives us so much.
Yeah.
She is the soundtrack of our lives, and, like, whatever time she needs, like, we will give her the time and the grace. I just really, I hope she's okay.
Yeah. Take the time, all the time that she needs. Plus, like, her performances are so, like, obviously vocally she gives us everything and more, and just physically, emotionally, and so she needs to always be operating at, like, 100, you know. She can't really, there's no phoning it in when you're Celine Dion. So I understand, like, you know, if not everything is working properly, then we need to postpone.
And let's remember she's been doing this for so long. She's been through so much. If she needs time off, she needs time off, and she does not need to give me an explanation.
I also feel like in this day and age, like, people postponing tours, residencies, concert dates, like,
so common.
It's so common, and it's like, okay, what's another 6 month wait?
Right. No, because of COVID, like, we all got our money back, and we saw, like, the world didn't end. So now, like, people are just, like, shifting, canceling, adding shows. It's like, it's actually lovely. Like, it's much more flexible now.
Yeah, it is. And it seems like less of a big deal. Like, when someone used to, like, cancel a tour, it would be like
worldwide news.
And now it's just maybe, like, you know, COVID stuff, they just, like, use it as an excuse now, probably, as well. But it must be a relief for them that it's like they don't have to upend their whole business.
Oh yeah. Like, if I'm canceling a show due to poor ticket sales, I'm 100% saying it's because of COVID.
100%.
Like, someone in the venue has COVID. Like, 100%. I'm just, know, like, if I ever cancel a show, I'm gonna regret saying this, it's because nobody bought tickets. Like, that's the only reason to cancel a show, unless, like, I break my leg.
No, or, like, maybe something came up in your, say the ticket sales were, like, meh, something came up that you'd rather be doing. And, you, like, there's other reasons, because
Las Vegas, Nevada, Dirty Jeans Tour.
Celine's not canceling because of ticket sales.
No. Okay. So, like, literally, I was supposed to go. No, definitely not. I was supposed to do a show in Vegas, and it was, like, such a big push. Like, I was on a billboard in Vegas, and when we launched, it's, like, a 1,000-person theater. I sold 100 tickets. And they were very, like, Vegas is a weird market. You sell the tickets 2 weeks before. Like, that's just how it goes.
Because people don't know they're going to Vegas until they're in Vegas.
And I'm like, and I understand that, but, like, you have to understand how my business works. Like, the toasters, the Patreon, like, we are prepared. Like, we get our tickets months in advance. I don't have a good feeling about this. And I'm not traveling 6 hours, but I was going to Vegas for my birthday. Remember my 25th, oh my God, I'm so old. 25th birthday, Ocean's 25. And then I was going to have to go back to Vegas, like, 2 weeks later. I'm like, I'm not, like, killing myself just to get, no offense, to see 100 people. How pathetic is that? So I'm like, cancel. And the 100 people were upset. And I'm sorry, but, like.
But it was COVID.
Thank you. There was a deadly illness penetrating through the Mirage.
Yeah. So what can you do?
And I had, like, this gorgeous.
It was out of her hands.
I had this, like, gorgeous wall that was, like, Bob Saget, Amy Schumer, like, Claudia Asher. And I took it down.
You should have just done the show just to...
Really?
Just for that.
I just didn't want to wait it out. Like, I'm sure more tickets... I'm sure I could have gotten to, like, 500 by the time of the show. But, like, I hate performing in front of half-filled rooms. It's depressing. Trust me, I've done it a lot. Casino Rama. Ooh, that was dark.
Where's that?
Outside of Toronto. It's in Rama, Ontario. I honestly, I don't even know where it is, but...
That sounds right.
Yeah. And it was like a half-filled room, and there was like a bunch of toasters there. But there was also, see, when you play casinos, you get such great deals. Like, why wouldn't you play a casino game? Yeah, you get
like rooms and...
And you, like, casinos are just filled with money. So they're paying you more than Madison Square Garden. Like, so casinos are the best, but you... Especially in like this remote part of town. Like, I'm doing Parks Casino this time around, and it's sold out already because like that's by Philly. So I know everyone who's coming is a toaster. But when you perform at a casino, you get out on the casino email list.
Yeah.
To like the VIPs, the, you know, the locals. And so when I was in Casino Rama, I would say there was probably like 800 people there in a place that filled 3,000. So it felt very small. And I would say about 200 of them were toasters. And the rest were just like, what is this?
Did they enjoy themselves?
You know what? I've done worse shows. Like, I think I really captivated the people who had no idea like who I am or what I was doing. You have to know who you're talking to, because if I'm in a toasty crowd, I could just be like, RDH, and everyone be like, yeah. But like, if I'm in front of normal human beings and they're like, RDH, you're like, what? Yeah. You have to like explain it.
Yeah.
So not to make this whole Celine Dion shutdown about myself, I just do have a lot of theatrical experience. Sorry.
But the good news is her world tour is still scheduled to resume on March 9th. Oh. So she'll be back on the road if you want to go see her.
Oh, man, I'm following her around for sure.
Yeah. It's crazy that that was the last concert that I've been to.
So she's going back out on March 9th. We literally went to her concert on March 5th. It will be 2 years that she'll be...
That's insane.
...off the road.
That's insanity. I'm so excited to get to a concert. Like, that's really what I miss most in life.
So you're not going to come to Luke Combs, like, next month, right?
No. And that kills me. I'm going to have to... Go. I'm happy to
throw your phone out.
Put my phone in a drawer and like not ever look. Like, I will literally have tears in my eyes every time Snitch goes to a concert that like I would, you know, have wanted to go to. It is the hardest thing. That's the only thing that gives me FOMO, and that's like the what I'm so looking forward to doing
after when I can. Yeah. I mean, not to rub it in, I'm so fucking excited for Luke Combs. Two nights. We're going on both nights at Madison Square Garden. Like,
you're just like...
So proud of my friend, Luke, first of all. You're
not allowed to talk about it. I'm sorry.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, you...
No, 100%.
That's when so I'm rude. Not on the show, talk about it. It's just that is going to... Look at you mean.
What? I just...
It's going to break my heart.
Did I say it? You said I couldn't talk about it? I didn't say one word. I just made an excited gesture to the camera. I'm allowed to be excited. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, next story. Kristen Cavallari is calling her split with Jay Cutler probably the best decision that she ever made.
On Caitlin Bristow's podcast.
Yes, Kristen Cavallari went on Off the Vine, and she is opening up about her split with Jay Cutler, saying it was probably the brightest and saddest time of her life. She said, there's been times over the last 18 months where I'm like, is this the right decision? Jay and I actually went on a couple of dates like months and months and months ago. She was like, we did. But then I was like, it's not there for me anymore. Mm. So I guess they split up, and then like she was having second the thoughts. And so she was like, let's see each other again. And it was like, nope. She said, the thing with Jay is we aren't getting our divorce because of love lost, which made it really challenging because we were crazy about each other. And so I just decided I didn't want to be in a toxic relationship anymore, and I had to break it off. But that's made it hard and made me sit here and question it for a few months. But then going back and dating him a little bit made me reaffirm it. Like, no, I know that I'm doing the right thing. Then also she talks about what we're talking about this week, like the divorce and her children and like what is the right path. And she said that she wanted her kids to see her happy and believes that they're better off with their parents going their separate ways. She said, I don't want my kids growing up thinking that this is a good relationship because I got to see my mom get remarried and in a good relationship. Mm-hmm. So I knew what one was.
Right.
So an interesting POV on this discussion.
Yeah. And she also was basically like, if we didn't have kids, I would never see this man again. But like, I have to. And honestly, that's you know what?
She's so funny.
No, because you know what? Like that. Did you ever see Marriage Story?
No.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
What's that one on HBO right now?
Scenes of a Marriage.
Oh, okay. It was like these two people just fucking hated each other so fucking much. And it's like you hate someone that much, you would never want to see them, but you have to see them every fucking day.
They're in your life forever. They are your family.
Divorce is so difficult. Like, I can't imagine. Like, and that's what she was saying. Like, basically, I think she's saying he's a fucking nut. And I've now come to, you know, realize that, and I never want to see him again. Oh, but we share three kids, and we see each other every day.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
I didn't get to the part where she calls, like, alludes to that he's a fucking nut.
Well, that's just what I gathered from the clips that I saw and from what you just said. She said she was in a toxic relationship. Like,
interesting. I mean, you know, part of me will always ship. What can I say?
No, me too. I thought they were a great couple.
And, like, they had a show, her show. And, like, even though he definitely, like, came off weird. Sorry, that wasn't the fifth story. I don't know why I'm putting your iPad away.
Getting excited.
I know. It's always the best feeling when I can tuck it away. Their relationship always, like, came off as, like, really funny and quirky on the show.
Not like other relationships?
Not like, well, probably like a ton of others. Yeah. But it, like, worked for them, you know? Yeah. And the fact that they were, like, showing you that side of, like, Jay and her, it's like, okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good. Mm. You know?
Yeah, but you know what? A+ reporting from Caitlin Bristowe.
Yeah.
Great guest, great questions, making news. You'd love to see podcasts making headlines.
You absolutely do. Are you ready now for our fifth and final story?
Is it delivery outside the door for us?
Yes.
It's a stove.
It's a stove. Oh, I think I know what that is. Oh, I know what that is. It's a new sponsor and it's fucking sickening.
Oh, wow.
It's a like an outdoor fire pit.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Obviously not for, we won't be using it in here.
In the studio right in front of us.
But isn't that cool?
That is cool.
We'll tell you guys about it when.
When it's time.
When we get the promo code. Our fifth and final story, we're just going to go right into it because there's going to be a lot of music in this story.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we're just going right in because I already went in.
Okay.
We're getting our first look at Taraji P. Henson as Miss Hannigan in Nanny Live. It's been a few weeks since we got a Nanny Live update.
Yeah.
And now we are seeing Miss Hannigan in her wardrobe.
Oh, my God. She looks great.
We will post this to our Instagram.
Is Annie a Christmas movie?
No.
Why is she holding a Christmas ornament?
Well, it's coming out December 2nd, and maybe Annie does celebrate Christmas at the Warbrookses.
Santa Claus, what's that? Who's he? That was like a good orphan voice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So this is really exciting just because I think it means like more Annie content coming soon. It's been a while since we got excited about Annie, even though...
You know what? It's my job to be honest with you.
I know that we have overhyped this.
No, that's what I was going to say. I just think I've lost a lot of the joie de vivre that I had for Annie.
I did too. Once we started telling other people about it and other people were
and
like...
And hearing it out loud. Yeah. Like, not within the confines of this studio.
They were like, that's.
They were like Nicole Scherzinger?
Nothing of the sort.
From the Pussycat Dolls?
Why not Hugh Jackman?
Literally.
So I agree. I've definitely lost some of my zest for Annie. But I want to get it back because it was exciting to be excited about something. In
and
such
when
a
is it,
big way.
When and where is it premiering?
December 2nd on NBC, Annie Live.
Annie Live. We're going to give it... We should do like a live stream while we watch it. Like we've talked about it for so fucking long.
I know.
We have to like go on Instagram Live and watch it separately, like in our Christmas pajamas.
We have to do something special for
it. Yeah.
Because
oh, wait, we should host like a screening, like at a bar. Oh, you can't go to a bar.
That would be really sad.
No, Jackie, I'm telling you, it would be the best night of our lives. We'd all sing along, you know.
Yeah. I just want anyone...
The sun will come out tomorrow. Pick your bottom dollar that tomorrow. And then all the toasters would be like, there'll be sun.
Yeah. You know? I just hope that if anybody is watching who's responsible for Annie Live, like, please make it good. Because we have a lot riding on this set at this point.
Emotionally, physically, you know? Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle...
Just make us proud.
I don't know if I can handle a big letdown like that.
Okay, well, those are the fast five stories. And I feel as though you needed to know some of them.
Yeah, you needed to know... None of them. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. You needed to know that Lala and Randall, there's still hope.
And we've got our TV recap, which is chock full of goodness, which is brought to you by Current. Sorry, my phone is frozen. Just give me one second if you can. Current is a technology company that lets you manage your money on your phone. They believe banking should be more accessible and affordable, with no surprises and no minimum balances. Current's easy-to-use app and debit card gives you flexibility, freedom, and faster access to your money. They have benefits like earning points when you swipe with your debit card at eligible merchants, redeemable for cash back. They have no fees on over 40,000 in-network Allpoint ATMs in the U.S. They have helpful spending insights and notifications to track when and where you're spending, and they have easy-to-create savings goals that include ability to round up purchases to save extra change. And if you get a Current premium account, you can enjoy direct deposit up to 2 days early and an overdraft of up to $100 without overdraft fees. So for a limited time, we are partnering with Current to give away $1,000. That's right, Current is going to give away $250 to four listeners of our show. All you have to do is download the Current app and enter code TOAST during sign up for a chance to win. Remember, that's code TOAST during sign up. The winners will be awarded soon, so don't wait. Download the Current app and sign up in less than 2 minutes and enter code TOAST for a chance to win that $250 that four people are going to win. Visit current.com/toast for full terms and conditions.
Great. Okay, let's talk about Only Murders in the Building.
Okay, okay.
Because a 10th episode premiered. We know who killed Tim Kono.
Spoiler alert.
There will be major spoilers here because the show is over and now we're going to be talking about it.
Okay, so Jan's a killer. And to be honest, like, I really didn't see that coming. And even like last week's episode when it was like she's not the first bassoonist and they found the bassoon cleaner, I'm like, there must be some sort of explanation. And then it really did turn out to be her, and she was a very good actress, like very diabolical, loved it all, loved the ending, like him being on the drugs. And honestly, when he stood up out of that
hysterical.
So funny. But the thing is with this show is like, I honestly don't even care who, like when you watch a thriller, like I was just watching Clickbait and I could not wait to get to the end. I'm like, how does this show end? I don't even care. Like, I just love watching these people, like, you know, go on this journey. Like, I'm not so invested in like who did what. And now I see people trying to like put together, well, who killed Bunny if he was wearing the sweatshirt and she stumbled in. Like, I don't care. Like, I just can't wait for next season to see the gang get back together.
Yeah. So I loved the way that it ended for two reasons. I thought that the murderer was very like a satisfying ending and it made a lot of sense. And also now watching it back, there were so many clues. And, you know, especially because like once we found out he was poisoned and, you know, they do say poison is a women's weapon. Mm-hmm. So we should have been able to like narrow it down. So I think that felt very satiating that like that was a good killer, makes sense, wraps it up nicely. Someone that we know, not just like some far-flung character that they throw in. So that was great. And then two, it opened it up for season two. I thought maybe this was just going to be a limited series, but now we're going to get more murders in the building.
I would have loved to have seen like some of the podcast success. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, do they get a sponsor?
No, and like, is Oliver in good financial standing?
Right.
Because the Demases obviously aren't sponsoring the show anymore. So he got that $30,000 from Teddy the Demas. But then for their finale, like, they should have sold it for, like, you know, at least $50,000. And, like, I just need Oliver to keep his apartment.
No, I know. And, like, now they're, like, under arrest. So I'm like, are they going to be able to operate their business? And like now Tina Fey's like coming in trying to steal their podcast. Like I'm making a podcast about them. But like it was their thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'll get out and they'll do their podcast in season two. I'm worried about their financial standing.
For yeah, me sure. too. Not Brazos.
Not Brazos.
When he like was like, I'm doing stage sips. I was like, yes, Brazos. And then the handkerchief. Like, oh no, Brazos. And it was just a very exciting show. I loved it.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so well done. It was so funny. Selena Gomez was amazing. Like, I just have new outlook on her.
Same.
And she's such a great actress.
And she's just a great gal. Like, I was just loving her. I followed her on TikTok this morning. Like, I love Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say that.
But she hasn't been doing that much promo for the show because I was looking at her Instagram. No, like, she doesn't really talk about it.
Literally.
But like if I were her, I would be shouting it from the rooftops. This is a work of art.
This is the best thing she's done in years.
If ever. Like, if ever. It's also the best show in years. So like the fact that it's her thing, it's so cool.
And there's just really something to be said for Steve Martin and Martin Short putting out. I know they've accomplished so much. This is one of the best things I've ever seen them in. And, you know, they're both well into their 60s. Like,
yeah.
You just love to see two comedians killing it.
And it's just so contemporary, like, and on the nose. Yes. And, like, you know, the podcast element. It just really...
And then do it in a cringy Emily in Paris way.
It's hard for shows to, like, capture the essence of a lot of these, like, new age things.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it in the best way that I've seen. So... I love books and shows and movies that are about podcasts. It just gives so much credence to the art.
It gives so much credence to the art. I couldn't say it better. I don't know why I was trying. okay, so I'm like sad it's over, but I really, that was just like a fun journey. And I might even watch it again. Like,
yeah. And you know what? I did watch it like every two weeks, like episodically. And it kind of makes it more, even though it's frustrating and you just want to know what happens, it does make, you do feel more involved than when you binge it. And like, because even last night I realized I had two episodes to watch and like, I was like binging it so that we could talk about it today. And it's like, when you binge something, you do sort of like miss out on how you feel between episodes.
That's
like
true.
Who you thought did it before you knew this. Like, it's nice to have some time to reflect and it becomes more in your head.
Yeah, for sure. Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing.
Oh, wait. I want to ask you about last week's episode because do you agree with me about James and Raquel?
Yeah, I think they're so fucking cute and nice. And like, honestly, I just don't understand why he keeps saying it's a Tiffany's ring when it's not from Tiffany's. It's like a Tiffany's diamond from his friend. So I just need more clarification. I'm sure Andy will dive into that at the reunion.
He asked them on Watch What Happens Live. Still no clarification. They maintain that it's a Tiffany's diamond with a setting from his friend. Like,
so what's a Tiffany's diamond?
I don't know. Like, maybe it's like secondhand.
Oh.
That's the only thing. Like, you know, not that he got it like from the real, but like.
No, but like a vintage ring that was from Tiffany's and you had diamond is fine and had it reset.
And then he had it reset.
That's a reasonable.
But the thing is, they didn't explain it that way. So maybe that's not the case. That's the only thing I can think of that makes this like logical.
That's a great explanation.
They should go with that.
I think they're great. I think that the proposal was so sweet and really beautifully done. I don't understand why Tom Sandoval paid for half of it. And like when him and Ariana were having that conversation, is she saying like now she will get married?
I think she was saying like if, you know, he did all of that, she would say yes to an engagement. That doesn't necessarily mean
she wants to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just cannot stand Tom Sandoval. He was probably the worst version of himself. I don't think he's ever looked worse in an episode than last night's episode. I think the last time he looked that bad was at Stassi's book signing where he was an animal. And you know what? Who came out of the hero of last night's episode?
Ariana.
Ari fucking Anna. Because you know what? Of course, I love people who like stand by their man. But you know what? Sometimes your man needs to be told that he's being wrong. And when it comes from Ariana, I do think it holds a lot of weight as opposed to coming from Katie or Tom. Now, the quote of the episode is Tom Sandoval, but it's also Tom motherfucking Schwartz. I cannot stand this man. I don't know how Katie does. Like, if my husband ever threw me under the bus a fraction of the amount of times that Tom Schwartz does, I would sock him in the face, first of all. Second of all, that conversation was so painful. Like, basically, what Tom's trying to say is, like, I don't feel comfortable working with you on the restaurant because in the past you've proven that you send mean text messages.
Yeah, or that, like, you're unprofessional in professional situations. But first of all, like, that's the show. Uh-huh. That's the job. And it hasn't been that heated and crazy for years. And also, you should fucking hope that your restaurant is relevant enough to bring in the sort of drama.
Tequila Katie.
Yeah, no. And, like, if that's what's going – if what happened in the last 6 years is going on at your restaurant, that means your restaurant is a success.
And you know what? I just feel like it's so unfair of Tom to, like, be throwing – yes, she was – Katie was problematic a couple years ago, and I think she would admit that. Like, Tequila Katie, she was, like, getting really angry when she was drunk and, like, being mean. And I feel like she doesn't do that anymore. So to – to bring something up, Ariana was literally like, you're talking about something that happened 6 years ago. Like,
it's irrelevant.
It's so unfair. Like, if somebody's making progress and, like, you're bringing up this old thing, like, that's not fair. I actually hate when people do that. It bothers me so much.
Right. As if people can't grow and change and that even if they do, it doesn't matter. They're always going to be
judged. You're always going to be thinking it.
By your worst moment. And everyone on that show has had completely awful moments. Like, if we never moved on from him. And that's really one of the things that's so makes the show work so well, weirdly, is that they do these awful things to each other, to themselves, and then tabula rasa, they're really able to move on from it. So if you want to get stuck in the mud from 6 years ago, that doesn't work on this show.
So you told me that they came up with a different name. What was it?
I did.
Did someone else tell me that?
Every week on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asks everyone who's the guest, like, what they should name it. Because
did you not tell me that they had a name?
I don't know. Well,
like,
Katie's
Whiskey Tom?
I don't
Tom
know.
And Whiskey?
Some people were suggesting that it be called, like,
Cariana.
Cariana, something with the girls' names. And then
Katie I'm sure Maloney, Tom Sandoval loved that.
Oh, my God. Katie Maloney suggested Once Upon a Tom.
Oh, that's what you told me. And that's cute.
That's so cute.
You know what? Katie is actually a great businesswoman. She grew up in restaurants. She, like, runs her own successful business. She's very good with digital. She takes lots of photos. She's very artsy. I don't think that her being involved would be the worst thing. And honestly, this whole situation would go away if Tom Schwartz, like, had any balls. He'd be like, this is my wife. It's our business. She's obviously being involved. Fuck off.
He's so annoying. And the dynamic between the two of them, like, it used to be, like, this cute thing when they were just, like, a C-line plot of the show. But now that it's A-line and it's, like, when they were sitting in Palm Springs and Tom Schwartz was like, you did such an amazing job on the Rachel. I'm going to give you the name. I was like, yuck.
Okay, that was so unbelievably lame. And also this like thing, Tom Sandoval being extra, and he came over with that basket like full of vagina candles, like.
And the face mask, so he did.
That's Claudia, not a personality trait. I'm sorry.
The show is being ruined for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I could not, I can't. Like, so for me, like, the Rochelle stuff and, like, him being so extra about James's engagement and then, like, when it all went well, he was like, we did it. It's like, nothing to do with this.
It was really weird.
It was so weird. It was so losery.
And also, like,
he thinks that main character. He is single-handedly ruining the show. It's shocking to me. Like, it's so fucking cringy. I want to jump out of my skin. I know.
He's awful. Like, he's really. He's
awful. And then, so not only does he do. So if he wants to, you know, spend $12,500 on James's engagement while also taking, like, a mortgage out on his house.
I can't watch people who make such dumb financial mistakes. Like,
make those financial decisions. Like, that's one thing. But then he also acts like an absolute psychopath later in the episode to Katie. And now I'm like, oh, okay. So you're annoying and you're evil. Goodbye.
No, and it's like, you're actually making really bad decisions. Like, the name, the finances, like, you're, like, actually, if there's any reason that this restaurant isn't, like, successful or taking off yet, is because you are in charge. Like, that's why. So to come at Katie, who's just trying to be helpful, and I get it's annoying when, like, when you have ideas and someone, like, is being constructive and it's just, like, basically tearing your ideas down. But a bad idea is a bad idea.
Also, they have Tom Tom, which is, like, a swanky West Hollywood joint that's named after them. If they want this new restaurant to be a little bit different and stand apart, like, they should incorporate their wives. They should make it, like, so it's like Lisa would always say, and I actually thought it was a good reference. She would say, Villa Blanca is where you take your wife. Sir is where you take your mistress. Pump is where you take your boyfriend. And then I think Tom Tom would be where you take your girlfriends.
Yeah.
And Once Upon a Tom should be where you go on a double date. Like, yeah. Where, you know.
Group fun.
So
Jenga.
He should be leaning into things that make this different from Tom Tom, because I don't know that there's that enough to go around in this day and age of people who want to go to Tom Tom Part 2. And they just.
After Sir and Pump and Villa Blanca.
And, like, people who want to go to Tom Tom but, like, couldn't get in that night.
Yeah. No, I mean, this restaurant storyline is actually so uninteresting just because Sandoval's taking it over. But the Sheena and Brock thing is actually really interesting. And, like, I do feel really bad for Sheena. And also, like, I kind of, like Brock. Like, I think that he brings good energy. And I do think he's 100% right about Sheena's mom. Like, I get that it's your mom, but, like, if we're paying someone on salary, like, I can wake up early and go to the gym and play pickleball because we have someone on salary. Like, and it's just awkward that it's Sheena's mom. But, like, that's what it is.
Yeah, that didn't bother me so much about it. I mean, I said that last week, like, him going to play pickleball and, like, because he's, like, striving to win and do his best.
With,
like,
the group?
It was cute to me.
Cute.
Like,
but so I actually really did side with him on, like, the Sheena's mom stuff. And obviously it's fucking weird that he hasn't seen his kids in 4 years. And, like, I guess, okay, 2 years of the pandemic, so, like, 2 years. But he moved to America to have a better life. Like, he wasn't living, like, in the desert. He was living in Australia. Like,
no, and also they said he moved to America to give a better life to his kids. But, like, is he
sending money?
Is he sending money home to Australia? Is his wife, former wife, accepting money? Because she has a new man. Husband. I don't know who's married and who's not. But is their money being exchanged? Otherwise, you're just in America for yourself.
Yeah, it feels like he moved to America and, like, is relieved of the fact that his ex-wife has a new husband. He really filled in, like, the stepdad role, and, like, the kids are being taken care of.
Yeah.
But, like, it's bizarre, and I really want to like him. Like, I actually think he's, like, funny, and when he was talking about how his thighs are so big at SoulCycle, like, I think he's very different and interesting, but I cannot get past this. And Lala's 100% right to, like, should be telling Sheena all this, because I know Sheena doesn't want to hear it, but Sheena knows that she's right, too.
Yeah, and how strange about summer and winter.
Oh, my God. Lala was like, if my husband ever left and named his kid Lake, it's so weird.
It's crazy.
And, like, Sheena's lying that she always wanted to name her kid Summer because we know she wanted to name her kid Madison Marie Parks Valletta.
But she said that was Rob's name. That's what she said on Watch What Happens Live because, of course, like, Andy asked her.
Yeah.
Did you see James and Raquel on Watch What Happens Live last night? I watched, like, up until the first commercial break, and they were doing a lot. First of all, Raquel found her voice. She said that Katie is getting involved in the business because she's bored at home. Not good.
That's also just, like, not correct.
Not good. And she
Katie
also
has a very successful podcast.
She also said that they're just like completely Team Tom, the two of them. And of course
they have to be.
They were asked about Lala and Randall, and James said he really didn't know anything. But every time like Andy asked a shady question, which it should just be called watch shade happen live.
Watch shade happen live.
And James like always like hesitated, was like about to give like the shady answer, and then like said the nice thing because I don't think he wants issues with Lala.
Yeah.
But like there's
something
there. Yeah.
Ugh, I mean, like, I really do like James and Raquel. And, you know, Tom Sandoval is actually so far up James's ass. Of course James would be on his side. I'm so Team Katie, like it hurts.
Yeah. No, I'm so Team Katie this season, just on every level. Like, of course,
she's being hilarious.
She's being hilarious. Like, no one wants to be there, least of all her. And she's just giving us everything by giving us nothing.
But you know what? It was really interesting just to hear even Lisa mention Stassi and Jax and Brittany. Like, it was crazy because, and you know what? I think a lot of us have wondered, like, if Katie wants kids. And it's real. I'm, like, really sad for her that she, like, had spent a lot of COVID trying and never got there. And it's just like, people are so annoying when they ask that question. But hearing Lisa, like, even just speak of like the dead cast members, I'm like, what? It was crazy.
No, it was shocking. And it was like, I was glad that she said it because it's like, we're all thinking it.
Obviously.
You know? It's one thing if it was just Sheena and Lala. Mm-hmm. Like, those aren't even Katie's closest friends. But when you add in Brittany and Stassi, yes, everyone around her did just have a baby. And we just do need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
In telling the whole story.
Yeah, I thought that was. And then also they were referring back to Stassi's book signing. Like, it was just crazy to hear her name.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so that was Vanderpump Rules. And then impeachment. Jackie, it's so fucking good. And last night's episode was the part where, like, the media takes on Monica. And it was so sad. And it really got me thinking, like, two things. One, how wonderful that there was no internet, because she was glued to the television, like, watching late night. And, like, mm-hmm. it's so crazy because this was, like, not even long ago. And the things that, like, Jay Leno and, like, Dave Letterman, who everyone's like, Dave Letterman, the things they were saying, like, were so fucking evil. And it's just, it's not even like it was that long ago. But the fact that there was no internet is such a blessing for Monica. Like, I can't imagine how much worse it could have been. But, like, they did an SNL skit about Monica and Linda, and, like, Linda was like this heavy woman, and like John Goodman played her, and like you just see Linda, like Linda's the fucking worst, but like you see her in her house watching John Goodman pretend to be her, and like it's so sad. So while it's crazy, I mean, it's so much better that it happened without the internet, I do think a lot of the shit that, you know, that flew back in the 90s would never have flown today. Like the narrative just basically being like, you know, Monica's legs, Monica this, Monica that, when it's like, no, Bill this, Bill that.
Yeah.
So I think that like it would have been better if it had happened now, but it also would have been worse because of the internet. So it's like more content, but the narrative would never have been like, you know, Bill Clinton could get any man in the world and he wanted Monica, like gross, like shit like that. And it was just, Beanie did a really good job. It was actually a really sad episode.
That's making me really sad.
They put on, like, on the TV, like, the real SNL skit. I had never seen it. Molly Shannon played Monica, and John Goodman played Linda Tripp, and it was actually really sad to watch. Like, and Beanie, Monica, like, what was, I couldn't get off. She had to watch everything. Like, she couldn't stop. And, yeah, it's just so good. Like, I really recommend it. There's three more episodes. I'm going to try and, like, batch them up, but I'm just, and Ben is hooked.
I'll watch maybe when there's two left. Okay. So that I can like come in, zoom slide in. Right into home.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. So that's really all she wrote. Do you have anything else you want to say before my departure? I'm heading to Roma.
No, we wish you safe travels. Thank we hope you're having a great time. We Thank look you. Forward to seeing all the content that Abe captures for you.
Thank you so much.
And just, you know, enjoy your time off.
And enjoy hosting with Ben. It's always a roller coaster. It's full of highs and lows.
That it is.
You know what? I do not envy you, because when I host with Ben, people like say the meanest things about me. So.
Yeah, but that's different energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm excited to watch you and Ben. I think it'll be great.
Yeah.
And I'll be back on Tuesday, but Jackie will be back tomorrow, our stable queen. And thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us The Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Wow, that was the fastest I've ever done it.
Yeah.
If you made it to the end of the episode, why don't you drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram? How about the bowl of spaghetti in honor of my trip to Italia? And I'll bring you back some spaghetti. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.